to the Starry Eyed Podcast. My name is Brendan.
And I'm Jen. On this show, we chat about all things Williams Syndrome.
The ups and downs and what it's like living with.
And being a parent to someone with.
Williams Syndrome.
We're excited to share our community with you. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
Should we ask what your favorite Easter candy is?
Ooh.
I know it's not about.
You can find another reason to hate me.
Don't you dare say Cadbury eggs. Yeah.
Reese's eggs. Reese's eggs. Reese's eggs all day, every day.
Yeah. Yep. Quality. Certainly not a peep. I am not a peep guy. I have a favorite Easter candy. You know what it is? It's the spicy gumdrops, like the spicy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I get this is like the only time of year I get them. That's probably it. What about you?
None of us are voting for a jelly bean. My favorite is I like robin eggs. Those are my favorite.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Especially if the candy coating is like malted.
Yes. Yeah. The more speckly, the better.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. More speckly, yeah. The better. Absolutely right. Yeah. It's quality.
Dangerous, though.
Hopefully, everybody is going to enjoy a great weekend. We're filming this before Easter. So, this will come out after Easter. So, I hope you enjoyed a great weekend. That's what I'll say.
A great Easter and all that good stuff.
We had a nice little cute mom and son, Stella and Clayton Beard. Is that right?
Oh, Clayton Carroll, and Stella Beard. Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
Mom and son dynamic duo.
Knocked it out of the park for sure.
Yeah. They Stella was recommended by Syndra Cole, friend of the pod.
I'm a board member. Yep.
Specifically because of their experience with guardianship and transitioning into adulthood out of high school, and fascinating stuff. It was really great to listen to. You guys talked about all sorts of things. This conversation was really, really fun. And
for me, it just sparked. I've known about, like what transition kind of is, but I don't really know a ton about it. I loved what Stella said, which was like, we're all transitioning, right? We all go through these different seasons in life. And that's what you should think of when you think of your child's transitioning out of school and into adulthood. She brought up the guardianship piece, which was fascinating. Her specific scenario, she actually, got guardianship of Clayton after he was an adult, but then decided had a change of heart, felt like he was capable of managing his own independence, so to speak. And so they had that reversed. That was an interesting process to learn about. And it just sparked a lot of thought in me, like that there's all these folks with disabilities, not just Williams syndrome, out there living these, different lives and different, I guess, elements of what we call typical transition. And so it's a lot of food for thought for me. I'm sweaty and scared. If you can't see it, cause I'm, you're listening to this, but I'm putting my hands under my elbows. Yeah. Superstar Molly Shannon, right? Great. That's how I feel.
Special appearance by Brendan's mom.
Woohoo! Oh, yay! So I can't even believe that you were a bad, naughty, unstable. I don't know what the word is, but I feel like you've always been so
Brendan was a ruffian. He was a hoodlum.
Yeah.
Well, I was a rock,
a rock and roller. That makes sense.
Rock and roller. Yeah.
It was a great podcast. I think everybody take a listen. We're excited to introduce you to these two if you don't know them already, and enjoy.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Yeah. Stella. And hello, Clayton. How are you guys?
Hey.
We're good, Brandon. It's always good to see you, brother.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to see you too, guys. So for those who don't know who you guys are, why don't you take a second and introduce yourself and let everybody know what you're all about.
All right. You wanted to go first, Clayton?
Sure. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Clayton, and this is my mom, Stella, and we're so honored to be here with y'all today. This year has been great, and we're just looking forward to just seeing you guys and, you know,
being a part of the podcast.
Being a part of the broadcast, so I hope you guys enjoy the podcast.
That's exciting. So tell us, Clayton, how old, if you want to share, how old you are and where you live.
I am 27, and I live in a small town called Donville, Kentucky. And it's a pretty small town.
Very small.
It's very small right now. And I guess I love small towns. Even
we live on a farm.
We live on a farm, which is very cool for us. And my dad works at a high school, and my mom here, she works at a dentist office.
So you guys are in Kentucky, which is one of my my favorite places. I love it there. Have you always been there, or did you grow up somewhere
else? We've always lived in Kentucky. Clayton was actually born in Lexington, and I lived there for 25 years, and then I met my husband. We've been married for 11 years. And he lived in the country. And so we literally are Green Acres. The city girl moved to the country.
Yeah.
And Clayton ended up graduating high school here in Casey County, which is where my husband is actually. He's the principal at the technical school here in town. And so a lot of Clayton's story actually ties in to the high school and what he has done since graduation. And so we can talk about that too.
Yeah, I, if you could like, maybe just take us like real fast forward to that point, like how old were you, Clayton, when you were diagnosed with Williams syndrome, and just tell us like about your journey, like growing up and in school. And
yeah, Clayton was 9 months old when he was diagnosed with Williams syndrome. And so he actually had pneumonia in both of his lungs. How we found out that he had Williams syndrome was due to the pneumonia. So we're kind of grateful for that, which sounds kind of odd. But once his lungs cleared up and our pediatrician heard the heart murmur, sent us to a cardiologist who then referred us to a geneticist. That's when we, you know, began to find the answers and stuff. And at that point, truly my life changed in the direction of my career and where I was going. I wanted to be a cosmetologist, and I ended up being more of a special education advocate the rest of my adult life, and especially after he was born. And like I said, we lived in Lexington, Kentucky for many, many years. I worked in schools. I worked in the special education department. I was always an assistant. I always was very, very involved until the latter part, about probably 10 years ago, I really changed my focus and started on advocacy more, and ended up working for a couple of different agencies. I was the director for the ARC of Kentucky for a while, and so was very heavily involved in advocacy there. And then I also worked for another agency here called Kentucky Special. Oh my goodness, I just lost it. It's been a while. It's called Kentucky Spin, and we worked with families who had kids with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And so I helped them like prepare for IEP meetings and just get them ready for that process. So pretty much I've been very much involved in all the special education and advocacy work for the last 10 years. And then just recently I went back to work. I've worked from home most of those years and went back to work and totally flip-flopped and work in a dental office now. So, you know, but still very, very much an advocate at heart, and, but just needed a little break and a little change and to focus more on Clayton, just him personally, instead of, working so much with families.
So I work at this restaurant for, It's called the Braille Life Cafe. I've been at the restaurant for about
9 years.
9 years already. It's just been a I love my job there because all of the workers that I work with, they're very nice to me, and I pay.
You get your paycheck.
My paychecks every day when I work, and usually when I go to Red Life, I wash the dishes. And
Clayton has a lot of responsibilities around the farm too.
I do. He takes care of all the chickens.
He takes care of the chickens. He's very, very involved with his work around the farm too.
I am.
A quick little thing about the job situation. This kind of is a little bit of advocacy stuff that I really struggled with, because as an advocate for an adult with a disability, we have our vision of what we think their life should look like.
Yeah.
And I was really, because I didn't want to stereotype a job for someone with a disability. And a lot of times we think, oh, well, they can work in a restaurant, or they can, you know, do this or that. And I was not the one that wanted that. I wanted Clayton to do something totally different. But I had to put my feelings aside and know that he truly enjoys what he does there, and not try to make him into something that he truly didn't want to be, even though I had different visions and things for him. But he loves his job there.
I do.
And when we first started, we had support staff that would go with him and help him stay there with him, that we paid through a Medicaid waiver through Kentucky. And that lasted maybe 6 or 7 months, and he's not needed anyone since. Mm-hmm. So he's totally independent there. He does, you know, he does everything, and his job duties have expanded some since he's been there. So we really, you know, we're pleased with where he is with that. And he works about, I don't know, maybe 15, 16 hours a week.
I do.
And that's perfect for him. And he's very content with that.
I love the idea of people with disabilities working. It was such an important part of my personal journey, was working and the fulfillment and the pride that came with that. But I think that it's just the disability community is an untapped resource for so many employers. And coming from a restaurant lens, so many restaurants struggle with staffing and employee turnover. And Clayton is a great example that if you can hire an individual who comes in every day, they love doing their job, they love being there. He's been there for 9 years, right? Like, imagine. Correct.
Totally agree.
I think so. So I was saying, the restaurant, right, is a great example, because I'm similar to you, Stella, in the fact that I said my daughter's name is Stella. So now it's going to get confusing because we're talking about two Stellas. But my daughter, Stella, I have these goals and aspirations for her to have a job. And I would love for her to work in a restaurant. I think it's a fantastic job. I think there's value, right? Giving value back to the employers. Like, if you can have an employee that, you know, is happy to come to work, that comes to work on time, that takes the hours that you give for them, that doesn't complain and stays there for 9 years, Clayton, you are a blessing to your employer. So I hope you know that as much as they
give you very much. Them
so much
I,
more.
I really think he might be, and I don't know this for a fact, but I believe he's one of their longest working employees.
I would not be surprised. We should confirm that. Can we? We'll tag.
Yeah, I'll see if I can figure that out. But I know he's, as far as you know, that I know that I've seen the turnover. You know, he's one of the same faces that's been there for a very, very long time.
Yeah, my mom here has been supportive to me for a long time, and she really has. And
I hope so.
Well, I'm selling that for you because, you know, and there's been a lot of great people have really supported me as a adult who loves Wilm syndrome, who loves music. And I'm a music guy because I love music a lot.
So you grew up kind of in the same area where you live now. How was your school age time? I mean, you obviously had your mom, fiercely supporting you. So what I love Kentucky. I love Kentucky. But what I've heard, maybe this is true or not, you can confirm, is that it's not super disability friendly. So did you have a lot of advocacy to do for Clayton, or like, how did that journey look? I'm just curious.
Sure. Yeah. It's so funny that you say that, because I look at Kentucky and I think we have a pretty good advocacy program here. We have great Medicaid waivers, which a lot of states do not. Clayton actually gets 40 hours a week through, it's called the Michelle P waiver. So that allows us to hire different folks. We do what's called, we direct our own services. So we decide who works for him and who doesn't versus an agency. It's called participant directed. So that's what we do. We direct his options for him, and we decide how we want to use those hours. And actually I don't know if you're familiar with the ABLE account. It was a federally funded.
I have an ABLE account.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, in Kentucky, ours is called Stable Kentucky, and it's through our Treasury Department. And so Clayton, actually, you can even look it up online and probably still find it, but he was the spokesperson for Stable Kentucky. And so when ABLE came down federally, and then it went down to the states, and states then made a decision how they wanted to, you know, utilize that, and Stable Kentucky was established. Clayton was the first one really to be on that and get it going. He was presented, the governor was there, and it was a really big deal in Kentucky. And so he was kind of that representative. So he's come along with me and through all the advocacy pieces too. It just seems like every time we were doing something, you know, in the state that involved anything with disability related, he was with me through it. He also spoke at a lot of transition fairs that all the high schools had every year. He was a keynote speaker and would get paid to do that.
Yes.
So we kind of came up with a little thing called Clayton Carroll Speaks. We really promoted his, you know, because like you say, I really wanted him involved doing other things that he could get paid for, his strengths and gifts.
Yes.
And so, of course, we know young adults with Williams syndrome love to speak and talk.
Yes.
And so we went with that. He was able to get out to different high schools and go talk to kids with disabilities on exiting high school and what it can look like and the avenues they could go down. And so we did that transition fair circuit probably 3 years. We were out there, you know, really. And we have taken a break now from it. COVID hit.
Yeah.
And it changed a lot of things for everybody, as we know. And so he did a lot of Zoom transition fairs that first year. And then we kind of backed off a little bit. But we really focused on that. And he made some money doing it. It was really great because schools have funding.
Yes.
And they, you know, loved the fact that here was this young man with a disability who also sang the national anthem. And so he would go, he would sing the national anthem at these events. And then he would be the keynote speaker. And I also did a presentation with him. We kind of did a tag team thing, didn't we, Clay?
We sure did, Mom.
It was really neat.
Are you, Clayton, do you like to sing the Star Spangled Banner? Is that like a thing for you?
I'll tell you, that song is probably one of my favorite songs to sing, because that is a patriotic song. And it means that when I sing the national anthem, that song just gets me a lot, because, you know, it's a song that talks about, like, for the veterans and for the whole entire world to hear. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because my daughter Stella also loves to sing the Star Spangled Banner, like national anthem. And she's 13, so she's a little bit younger than you, but she sings it at all the different kind of places. And I was like thinking, I wonder if I could make this a job for her. Like, is this growing? Like, she could go to funerals and sing it for veterans. She could go to the, you know, VW
Any of the advocacy events. And, you know, everybody most of the time when you go to these events, it's a recording of it. And so anytime I hear a recording somewhere of someone singing it, I always leave a card and say, hey, if you ever want a live, you know, vocalist to do this, my son would love to do that.
When I first started being a keynote speaker, I was really excited about it, mm-hmm. because I wanted to tell the high schoolers and the principals and the staff, never give up.
he always loved to share that it was really a great opportunity for him you know, to do that. So I would look into that for Stella. It's weird saying my name.
I know, right?
Look into that for her. and even being involved in like the transition things as she's, you know, because she's transitioning. Is she in middle school now?
Oh, yeah. And so I know this is like a topic. This is like the main topic that we want to talk about. I am just like dipping the toe in, and I cannot even believe it starts at.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy. That's when it's required by law, you know, that's required by law. So it is, but it's really, I think it should be earlier, but I'm grateful that at least it's there.
Okay.
We missed it.
Transition, like, look, I mean, so again, I don't know really anything about it, so I'm just asking blindly. I mean, are you on the other side of it now at 27, or is it like still kind of happening? Like, what's, I guess, yeah. Like, tell me, like, I know it starts now, but then like, how long does it last? How long?
Well, it can last, you know, he can stay with vocational rehabilitation from now on. And it's like, we could all, is that what you're talking about? Like the services and things like that?
Yeah, I just don't know anything. Like in my mind, I think of transition and I think, okay, like there, that is, you know, setting Stella up for what's next. And then in my mind, I'm like, she's going to college. So, you know, like that's what my plan is for her. But then I'm like, isn't it like, then you go to college, then you go and get a job. And then like, I didn't know
Here's the way I always looked at transition, the definition. It simply means moving from one place to another. Okay. So we're all in transition all the time.
Right.
So transition doesn't stop when they turned 18. Transition doesn't stop when I'm 57, I'm still transitioning, you know, I'm still moving from one place to the other. I just started a new job. So you have to look at it that way. It's not, it never is going to end. It's all, you're always planning for the next transition. We are planning right now on building Clayton a home. That's going to be a transition in his life. So it just looks different depending on the stage that you're in your life. Your transition right now is educational. We're beyond that. You know, we're not in the educational phase anymore. We're in the life living stage now. Phase. Yeah. So it really just depends. So to me, it never ends. And it never started. It always just was. It always was. But there's an educational transition that is very definite on a time frame. And like for Clayton, he was able to stay in school until he was 21.
Right.
And I don't know how you all, he did not stay till 21. He graduated with his typical peers. He was
with a diploma.
He was on the alternate diploma.
Okay, but you still got a diploma, good.
He got a diploma. That's another thing that we fought really hard and advocated for in Kentucky. It used to be called a certificate of completion is what it was here.
That is like my life. We are living that life right now. And I'm like, No.
So what happened in Kentucky is we did have the verbiage changed. It is considered an alternate diploma, and the standards changed. So the standards were brought up higher, and in order for that diploma, it's even now even better than it was when he exited high school. And I sat on a couple of advisory boards and really fought hard for that even after he was out of high school. So it wasn't even going to affect him anymore, but I wanted it to continue, you know, on with other young adults. And so it is called an alternate diploma. However, he did not have the same requirements as someone on a typical diploma track.
Right.
Had to have. So,
Brendan, did you, when you graduated high school, what was that like for you? Like, I realize we never have talked about you. Like, how did you graduate with, like, a typical diploma? Did you graduate with some, like, a certificate?
My mom is going to come in for a sec. Because it was weird. Like, I dropped out and I went out of state to a post-secondary school for kids. Oh. I went to BHMA for a year and a half and then came back. And then I got my diploma and then they were pretty much done with me.
Hi, everybody. I'll make this quick.
Hi.
So, Brendan's junior year was a really tough year for him. Yeah. He got bullied a lot and his schoolwork was really suffering. Like his reading level went down. There were a whole bunch of things that they were not sending home papers. I mean, this came out afterwards, but they were kind of concealing it. But the bullying was the worst. It was really severe and they weren't dealing with it properly. And yeah. I said, well, we'd like you to send Brendan to another school, a BHMA, which is where all his friends were, his musical friends that he had met at Belvoir Camp. And we had gone up to visit them. And I remember in the car bringing Brendan home and he was in tears. And I said, I'm sorry. He did not want to leave. It was like he said, Mom, they're my people. That's where I want to be. But the school's position, the planning and the team was like, well, that's not the least restrictive, environment. And we're like, well, yeah, for him it is because, it's pretty restrictive when you have kids in your class threatening you, So
you graduated, Brendan, at 18?
You were 19.
I was 19.
19? Okay. And then you were done.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's no DDS services that Brendan was eligible for, but voc rehab. So we got our state senator involved to advocate for Brendan to go to a 3-year program at a local guild music school called Neighborhood Music School, which is, so he had a very full program there, a certificate program.
Yeah.
And that was 3 years and that was his voc training. So
that's nice. Awesome.
Look at you now.
That's right.
Okay. Right. Nice to see you all. I can't wait to watch the episode.
Yeah. I'm so glad that I went to BHMA because as I look back on it, there weren't really many options for me at the time because, with the spectrum of Williams syndrome, I'll put it out there, I'm on the higher end of the spectrum. So there wasn't a lot of options for me and services that I could have readily available because of my IQ and
that disqualified,
which disqualified me a lot of things. So it was really tough to try and find something that would work.
Wow. So you guys have kind of had very different paths. That's the other thing I'm learning about transition is it is really unique.
Yeah.
Individual.
Yes. Right. And it should be individually based. That's what we fight for. That's what we advocate for,
Yeah. So, now, and you're right, Stella, I think what you said before makes sense, which then makes me annoyed that we even call it transition plan because it's like we're our whole life we're transitioning. Why do we have to have a special term, when it applies to disability? Because it's just, it's like life.
And I don't want to bash schools because, I was in school. That was my career for many years. But when we exited, when Clayton exited, he did walk with his typical peers. We graduated. We went through the whole graduation ceremony. His grandfather actually was the speaker for his graduation. He sang the national anthem at his graduation.
Oh, the whole thing. Okay.
And he went back the following year. He went back 1 year and he could have went until he was 21, he could have. But it's like you were saying, Brendan, there wasn't really a whole lot left for him to do there at school. He went back actually, that's when he actually started helping with the band. He went back, we called it, he was the band staff advisor. So his transition looked more
like an internship.
Exactly. It wasn't like going to the store and, how they look at transition now. Oh, let's take them in the community and let's, you know, let him go to Dollar General and buy something. Well, that's not transition, you know, to me. And so it ended up being more, like you said, an internship, which I loved. Yeah. And that was 1 year we did that with him as a student still. The following year, he came back, not as a student, but as a volunteer. And so since then, he has been a volunteer, which had nothing to do with a transition plan. It was what life was.
Wanted to do. You followed your passion. Exactly. And yeah, totally. That's super cool. So you still do that a couple of days a week? A
couple of days a week. And then he's going to start doing, like I said, the food pantry, which he will love. He also worked at a daycare center for a while. I forgot about that. He was paid for that. It did stop after COVID hit and the daycares closed. So we never took that back up because Clayton finally told me one day.
Like, I hate kids.
He goes, Mom, I don't like kids. You know, I don't.
Well,
you like the big kids. You didn't like the little kids.
Well, you know how little kids can be sometimes.
Yes.
Yep.
Because one time when I was at the daycare, I was at the church that I go to every Sunday. So all of these little kids were, they were on me. Like they were on my back. They were on my legs. And
they loved him. He just didn't love them.
And I'll tell you what, it wasn't the best for me. So when COVID started,
you just didn't go back.
I didn't go back because the COVID was really terrible.
Yeah.
And
it was just perfect timing that job kind of ended. Yeah.
It was just when I was in high school, I didn't like school that much at all.
Okay.
Because school was very hard for me. And when I was in high school, I got bullied. Not like when he was in high school and, you know, and
one of the things that helped Clayton not to be bullied as much is his stepfather was an assistant principal at the time at his high school.
Yeah.
So therefore, and he handled all the discipline. And so kids knew they better not mess with Clayton, you know. So that was a big help for him. And
it was, Brendan,
I'm sorry you didn't have that. And because the little bit that it affected Clayton, I can't imagine how that affected you. But it sounds like what your mom did and what you did, it ended up working out perfect for you too.
And,
so
and like in high school too, I mean, some people at the high school that I go to, like the one that I go to at the Casey County School, is that high school students, they always get into fights.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I witnessed a fighter too at my high school.
Yeah, I don't know how much time we have, but I do want to talk just a little bit about the whole guardianship thing, because I think that is a really big thing that I know families, not only just with adults with Williams syndrome, but any disability, you know, we've been taught all our life, like Brendan, your mom was talking about, the least restrictive environment. When our kids are in school, we want them with typical peers. We want them in regular education classes. We fight for that. I mean, we advocate hard for our kids to get the same education as their typical peers get, which that term is least restrictive environment. As soon as they turn 18, we panic and we go into the most restrictive environment. So here we have spent 18 years trying to get them to be independent, to be, you know, with their peers, doing the same things. And then as soon as they turn 18, we freak out.
We think we
need to be their guardian. Now, I do know that in some cases, it's necessary. It is necessary. As a matter of fact, I don't regret what we did with Clayton when he turned 18. I was that mom. He turned 18 on May 11th. His court date was May the 12th. I mean, I became his guardian the very next day. Okay. So here's someone who had advocated all their life. I can say these things because I did it.
Yeah.
For him to be in the least restrictive environment. And then as soon as he turned 18, I panicked and thought, I've got to be in control.
Right.
And we did. I became his guardian. And for 5 years, I was his guardian. I did, you know, it's a lot of work being someone's guardian. I'm just telling you.
What is, like, when you say being a guardian to somebody, like, what did that all entail? I mean, is that everything? That's like,
that's everything.
Making decisions.
He could not do anything on his own. He couldn't sign anything on his own. He could not make any decisions on his own. He, you know, has a girlfriend. They could have never married. And that was always a dream of mine. I always wanted Clayton to have a life and get married, have his own home, you know, all those things. That was not going to happen as long as I was his guardian. And, you know, so I really, really thought about it and prayed about it and looked into it. And so we went down a road for those 5 years of what's called supported decision making. And we actually, Clayton was through protection and advocacy, which is every state has a protection and advocacy. Clayton was actually their guinea pig, so to speak, of reversing guardianship. And so we had an attorney that was his attorney on his behalf, and we petitioned the court and got his guardian status back.
Right.
And where he is his own guardian now. He is right. His own guardian. He can sign his own documents. He can do all of that. I am his power of attorney.
Right.
So he can always give me access and rights to make any decisions on his behalf. And to be honest, the majority of the time he does.
Yes.
And that's great. Because we want to bounce, you know,
I want
him to bounce things. Yeah. But with supported decision making, the thing that is so amazing about this is we all use supported decision making. We just don't think about it. I don't do my own taxes. I go to someone who is a professional with taxes, and I have them do it. With supported decision making, you create a team around him, or we created a team around him that he feels comfortable to go to about certain things. Where it's not just me, it's not just his stepfather. His real father passed away in a car accident. In 2011. So Clayton's, the fear of family
shrunk,
began to shrink. My parents are both passed away. You know, I have one brother who lives far away. The fear of people was shrinking. And so we had to begin to look outside of our family.
Right.
To provide that supported decision making for him when we're not here. And that should be our goal as parents, preparing our kids for when we are not here.
Yep.
Not for when we are here. It should always, our mindset should always be, what are they going to do when I am not here? Who are they going to go to when I'm not here? And parents have a really hard time doing that.
Yes.
I did. I had a really hard time allowing other people in Clayton's life that he could feel comfortable with, that I felt comfortable with, that I could trust, with our greatest asset. And that was tough.
What was the guardianship thing? Like, were you always, I'm just wondering was it like a theme that you kept hearing, like, you know, in the disability community was like, they turn 18, you file for guardianship.
Exactly.
Okay.
It was an automatic. It even in the world of advocacy that I was in with Steele was, you really need to get guardianship because you won't get to go to an IEP meeting anymore. You won't get a say so in this. You won't get to do this. He can do his, you know, he would be able to make his own choices. And at the time, I really didn't think cognitively he was at the place that he could make those right choices.
So then how did that like switch over that 5 years? Like what did you start seeing that made you start feeling different?
the supported decision making really did it. I began to read books and understand more about other options that were out there. So when I had the guardianship reversed, so mind you, we had to prove he was comp. I had to declare him incompetent to get guardianship. Now I have to say he's competent.
Yeah.
So he's competent now. Well, that's a lot easier said than done. So in my documentation, we had to show what we had been doing over those 5 years to improve his independent skills. Now, because we live in a small town, let me preface this, because we live in a small town, the court system is a tad bit different than if we lived in a big city. Okay. So we've got small town judges. We've got, everybody knows everybody. So everyone knew Clayton. And when, even the court system, when we went, so we had an advantage of having it reversed quicker than if we lived in, say, Lexington or Louisville, which is our two biggest cities in Kentucky. Yep. So we were very fortunate with that, that it was a tad bit easier to have it done. But I did everything correctly. We made sure that, we had a plan in place. We had his power of attorney set up, which included supported decision-making in the verbiage. We did everything right. I am still his, can handle his finances for me and can still handle the medical procedures, have a say-so in it on those things. So it's not a whole lot different. It's not a whole lot different, except it gives him his rights back. Yes.
Yeah.
He has his rights. He can get married if he wants to.
Is that a goal of yours?
He already voted, so that wasn't that never got taken away from him.
Well, I don't know if I don't know if I do, because if I do, then I have to move where my girlfriend lives.
Where does she live?
She lives in Lakeland, Florida.
Well, she lives in Treasure Island.
Treasure Island.
And they go back and forth. They go, he'll go there a couple of times a year. She actually just left here. And so we make sure that he flies there, she flies here. We make sure that they get to see each other as much as possible.
Yeah.
And so that has been good. And now we're focusing on building him a home, on our farm. Okay, he's not going to be that far away from, he'll be kind of out there, but he'll have his own space.
Yeah.
And that's really important for not only him, but for me too. And for my husband. And we want him to have his own home and his own things. And
I live with my parents. So yeah. I get it.
Exactly. You would like to have your own home?
No, it's great. Things are in the
works.
You're
not going to go too far away because, you love it when we cook, right? Yeah.
Nothing like home cooking.
That's right. Clayton's not going to go too far away. But
yeah, nothing like home cooking.
Oh. Because we're rural and we don't live in the big city, we don't have a lot of the amenities that a big city has. For example, Clayton's girlfriend lives in Florida and she takes Uber places. She has that ability and that option. She lives, right in town. We don't have that. I am Clayton's Uber, or
Uber.
Friends are Clayton's Uber, so that has become something that is we've had to deal with.
Clayton, do you drive at all?
No, I am not a driver, but my mom drives me around if I needed to go places.
Yeah. Well, I think we're almost at the end of our time anyway. I'd love to hear from you. So your mom's talking about the supportive decision making, right? Where you get to make some decisions on your own and she helps you.
Yes.
What are decisions that you like to make on your own? Do you like, there are things that you're like, mom, I want to do this. Like, do you like to make your own decisions on where you like to go or what you're going to eat or.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the question is what things do you not like? You're like, mom, you've got to handle this because it's too much for me.
The one thing that I struggle with a lot is just my dad gives me the hardest time sometimes, and I know how dads are. And, you know, my dad probably gets me the hardest time ever because he does. And
let me tell you what he does. He believes that Clayton can do anything he sets his mind to.
Yep.
And so therefore what it really is a little bit of tough love. And so where moms are moms a little are more, we're a little softer. Dads are a little more, I know you can do it, son. I know you can do it. And so that's kind of where he goes, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
It is.
I was asking Clayton, like, what decisions does he like to make on his own without your help? And what decisions is he like, Mom, you've got this?
Yeah. What did you say? I missed it.
I said, the one thing that I struggle with is Dad. That's one.
So he wants you to handle Dad.
Yeah. And I do. I usually do handle Dad. But Dad is used to, like I said, he's a principal. Yeah. So things are, you know, in order and things are to be done this way. That's exactly right. And so making sure that Clayton gets and does his chores and does the things that he's supposed to do around the house instead of when he's here by himself, you know, kind of like we sometimes all love to do, you know, hang out and not do what we're supposed to be doing.
You can
relate with that, can't you?
I'd
much rather, I don't want to go to work every day. I'd much rather be sitting at home, you know, watching TV all day. But we can't do that, can we?
No, we can't.
No.
No.
Adulting is hard, you guys. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
Not as cool as you think.
It is. And also, does your daughter love to do anything for fun?
You know what? She does. She's 13. So I was telling you, she loves to sing. Her favorite thing to do is sit outside and sing and swing. She just will sing and swing all day long. She loves to dance. She loves to go eat out at restaurants. Like, she's a big foodie.
I do too.
You do too? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. She definitely does not like to do schoolwork. She's not excited about that. Not excited about chores.
Yeah.
She doesn't like, she's 13 right now. So she's at the age where she doesn't want me to tell her what to do. So she needs my help, but she doesn't want it. That makes
sense. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly. And we're at 27 with that too. So it doesn't go away.
I think that's the fight of a mom. Well, we've used up all of our time. I want to make sure that we touch base on everything you wanted to talk about. Clayton, is there anything you want to share with your friends or the Williams Syndrome community or people to know about Williams Syndrome?
Get back a little bit.
Of course.
There we go.
For those who don't know what Williams Syndrome is, y'all can find it on the, you can look up on Google and look up the Williams Syndrome Association. There's a website on there, and there's also about the public speaking that I did over the years, and it's called Clayton Carroll Speaks. Y'all can find that on
it's on Facebook.
It's on Facebook too.
Oh, it is? Okay. Cool.
Yes.
And you can also Google Clayton Carroll, and he's got a lot of different videos out there, music videos.
I got a Facebook page.
We also did an employment video that's out there. We had it professionally done, and it just talks about some of Clayton's jobs that he's done. It actually shows him working at the daycare. It shows him with the band. It shows him speaking. It shows him doing different things at the Bread of Life. It shows that. He wrote a song when his dad passed away, and it was called Dear Dad, and he wrote that actually with one of his guys that was actually working with him then. It was kind of like a direct support professional that was providing services for him. That was one of the things we always try to do when we hire people. I would always hire a girl to work with him, and then always had a young man that worked with him, and always had someone older, so he kind of had a variety of people in his life. And he wrote a song about his dad. And that's really sweet. That's out there on, you can Google that. It's called Dear Dad.
And
so, yeah, he's pretty famous out there in the social media world.
Right? And, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then he and Isabel actually have a little video that kind of went viral on TikTok, thanks to mom here. But I always filmed their meetings, like when they would meet at the airport. Oh,
yeah.
And because it was always just so special just to show their excitement when they would see each other. And so there's a variety of videos like that out there of them meeting at the airport and seeing each other for the first time again. And that's kind of a little viral out there in the world. So
it's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Isabel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to my girlfriend. I love you.
Well, thank you too for coming on.
Thank y'all so much for having us.
Yeah. We've had a great time. Thank you so much.
This has been the Starry-Eyed Podcast, presented by the Williams Syndrome Association. The show is hosted by Jennifer Keaton and Brendan Lemieux, and produced by me, Joel Listman. Theme song by Tommy Barbarella and Mariella Elm. Got a question for the show? Email us at podcast@williams-syndrome.org or message us at the Starry-Eyed Podcast page on Facebook. Video version of the podcast available on the Williams Syndrome Association channel on YouTube or on Facebook. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or comment on the video version and maybe it will be featured on a future episode. Make sure to like and subscribe to the Starry-Eyed Podcast wherever you get your podcast delights.